You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so I have Lee Kearney on the line, and she is founder of Osprey Consulting and also president and founder of LPK Consulting. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. It's fun to be here. Thank you.
All right, Lisa, we got a whole lot to talk about. And first of all, I'd just like to say, hey, congrats on being selected to be one of our next Mission Matters authors. I'm thrilled to have you part of the book.
It's been super fun. And I've loved working with all of the people you're associated with. They've been consummate professionals and helped along the way. It's been a fun ride.
Fantastic. All right, Lisa, we'll get this episode kicked off, which is the first of 2023, and we'll get it kicked off the way we kick them all off with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Lee, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Lee, what mission matters to you?
The mission that matters to me most is supporting those individuals who are leading large teams and large organizations and helping them deliver on the promises they make to people, processes, countries, and to really help them amplify themselves.
Love bringing mission-based individuals on the line to share their mission, the reason behind it, and really what we can all learn from that so that we can all grow together. So great having you on. I think just to get us kicked off, I mean, so first off, you're a psychologist first, even before going into business. Like, tell us a little bit more about how you got interested in that.
Yes, and actually I was a physiologist first, believe it or not. I grew out of hard science way back in my 20s and 30s. And as it turned out, I ended up in a leadership development program myself when I was a director of a wellness arm of a physical therapy business. Mm-hmm. And that's when I figured out that I was good at what I did, but I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to switch careers, redo graduate work, and it's been a fun ride ever since.
And so the thought to become an entrepreneur, and a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs that watch this show, I'm curious, you could have went into work for, you know, into practice with other individuals, you could have joined other teams, but you went out on your own. But what kind of led to that?
I think that I've sort of been on my own my whole life, mm-hmm. truth be told. And if I'm really being honest, I think I'm pretty competitive. And so I like doing things on my own. I like winning. And I like working with people who are driven to do the same. Yeah. So it was natural then for me to try to figure out how to fill a niche that others weren't filling.
I want to stick on this theme of entrepreneurship a little bit longer, because I know that you know, obviously as we get further in this discussion and we get into LPK Consulting, some of the work you're doing, Osprey Leadership Consulting, I mean, you've worked with, you know, top CEOs, you've worked with big decision makers, and you've worked with them in very intimate settings to where, you know, that you serve as a confidant, a leader, a coach, and somebody that they can really get a lot of value out of working with. But I want to stick on these early days a little bit longer, because for some of those entrepreneurs that are just getting started, what are some of the things that you feel helped you kind of in the early days to continue to get to where you're at today?
Adam, I think that one of the driving factors, if I look back, is that I never really fit into any one of the groups that my peers were fitting in. I have a pretty non-traditional path. And I think because of that, I was always trying to figure out what I needed to do to fit in, which started to give me the sense that I needed to understand, be self-aware, and figure out how to maximize the differences that I had overall. I think one of the key messages came from my grandmother early on, and she always complimented me because I was tall. I didn't even fit in then. I was taller than everybody else in my class. And being different isn't always that great when you're young. And she was the one who filled me with the message that you always want to be different. Different is better. So I think started from there gave me the confidence to stand out rather than try to fit in.
So looking at the early years as your business, you obviously had your niche. You were a physiologist, then went back, got and went further in your career. And so now looking back at from the early days to now, as you started to grow your business, as you started to get your messaging down, all those other things, because businesses evolve over time, right? What are some of the things that kind of as the business started to grow and as you started working with more clients, like what was kind of your North Star there?
It's a good question. I think I've always been fascinated with how you know what truth is. Mm. That's all. I've always wondered, how do you know what to believe? Mm. And I think it took me quite a few years to figure out that there are multiple versions of the truth. Mm-hmm. And as long as I stay open to those different definitions of truth for any person, I can then explore wisdom. I can look at what resilience is. I can figure out what is excellent in someone. So I think, Adam, it started in the beginning by wondering how you know what truth is. And in physiology, it's pretty black and white. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty easy. The answers were easy to figure out, at least at that time in my life. Mm-hmm. So I was curious about some of the gray area, some of the more complex and sort of bigger questions.
And one of the things I like that you said is that it took you a little bit of time to figure that out, because I feel like so many entrepreneurs and business owners and just people in general, corporate America, whether you're climbing the corporate ladder, whatever you're doing, like we have this pressure, this thing where we're supposed to have it maybe figured out, especially as we kind of think about the school system and, okay, we get out of college, now you're going to get a job, you're not going to do this. Like just let's say that one of the tracks, right, that people choose to take. And it takes time to figure things out, right?
It takes a lot of time. You're making me remember that every time I show up in a client's office, if it's a first meeting or a first offsite with a senior team, or there's something new we're launching, I am just as nervous as the first day I sat in front of a CEO. And I roll my eyes at myself and wonder, oh my gosh, how come after all these years, are you still heart pounding and forgetting your first lines and is it going to work? But I think that is actually an advantage because it feels new. Each person is new. Each event is new. And I think it keeps me on my toes and keeps me learning.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think this idea that we're all evolving, whether it's as people, whether it's, in business or otherwise, I'll tell you, like, even mission matters when I think about this or just my path. I if you told me I was going to be a podcaster when I got out of college, yeah, right. I don't even know if podcasts exist, number one. But number two, I didn't know what it was if it did. So to think that that was an aspiration or even our company or our brand, Mission Matters, I mean, that evolved out of a previous brand that myself and the co-founder started called Money Matters Top Tips, because I was a financial advisor and I was in finance. So we thought it was going to be a money-based platform. And then lo and behold, our hearts were moved where it's like, no, actually mission matters. Like that's where this thing's going to be at, that we spend our time with. And that's where we felt our true value in the marketplace was, to help amplify people's missions. So we're all on this path together in one way, but how we learn and how we navigate through it. I like how, again, that you said your North Star was truth and trying to kind of stay true to that piece of it. I'm a fan of it. So I want to, Lee, just jump around here a little bit for a moment, because I want to get into, of course, LPK Consulting, and I do want to, also, of course, talk about Osprey. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit about the book today. Now, notice I say a little bit for the audience and everybody listening out there, because we're going to bring Lee back onto the show, and we'll do a deep dive into her writing, but that's after the book is live. So today, you just get a little bit of a teaser. So Lee, what's a teaser, a little bit of what you plan to propose in the upcoming book?
I keep thinking about the future and I think about all that I've learned and all of the gifts, the relationships I've had with very senior people over these decades. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how to give them to aspirational coaches who want to do good work supporting individuals who are wielding a lot of power in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And so trying to analyze from my clients and my very senior clients what it is that they found value in is I guess the teaser.
I'm in and I can't wait. I know we're in editing and I know we're still going back and forth, but for everybody watching, you're going to be excited about this one. It's a great addition to the book. And we'll table that piece of it for now. I'm not going to get too excited because we're not going further into it today, but we'll table that one for today. And let's circle back to what you're doing in the consulting side of things. So maybe let's just start at the beginning. So I believe it all started with Osprey Leadership Consulting, am I right?
Well, if you allow me to use the word evolution, I can even go back to the Center for Creative Leadership. Mm. So in the 1990s, out in Colorado Springs, I was employed out there. And I think it was a big gift to be exposed to research, education, and development across the globe in a public format, where I was exposed to all sorts of leaders from all sorts of sectors and industries and organizations. That's where I went my whistle on the whole subject. And I would say it evolved from being indoctrinated in what was the cool new thing about leadership in that decade. And then in the 2000s, figuring out how to fine tune that content and make it actionable for really capable and competent and driven individuals who want to do better. I mean, really want to understand themselves to lead, to grow teams, to deliver on promises. So I dove into, I would say, small firms, leaving the Center for Creative Leadership and then working for a number of small boutique firms that went through the whole transition when large search firms around the globe were trying to figure out how to access what psychologists knew about selection assessments. And that grew my love of data. That rang a bell from my old hard science days. And another avenue of truth. So figuring out how to use all of those instruments that psychologists have access to help one person like yourself know yourself better. So I think the evolution was going from research, education, and development to a boutique firm where the consulting started to happen so that the individuals and teams I worked with had better, more focused access to what we could do in terms of support.
And so tell us a little bit more about the process and really how you're working with clients and how that's evolved over time.
Well, remember how I said every client is like starting over?
Yep.
Well, truly it is. You have to be able to wipe that chalkboard clean, wipe that whiteboard clean, wipe that slate clean in your brain and look at an individual and their team and their organization new. Whether it's the same industry, whether it's a competitor, doesn't really matter, because think about yourself. Do you think you're different from other human beings?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks they're different.
My mom would say the same.
So I have to try to figure out what those differences are. And yes, there are similarities that we can research, that we can study, that we can elevate and illuminate for an individual about commonalities across senior executives or presidents or CEOs. And that's helpful for grounding the conversation. But we start afresh, learning the history, learning the culture, learning the individuals on the team, their history. Same kind of questions you're asking me, but probably with a focus towards a goal.
And you also have LPK Consulting. So I kind of want to maybe differentiate these two. So tell us a little bit more about this firm.
LPK Consulting is sort of my next baby. I grew Osprey Leadership since 2005. And that little baby bird is kicked out of the nest and often flying in its own way. And I'm still involved, as one of the people on that team calls me, the Obi-Wan Kenobi. To come in and dive in and help, which is a really fun position to be in. But the founding principles around lack of judgment of someone, about honor and humility and respect and helping someone truly understand what their core values are to be able to leverage the strength that they have is what LPK can help up-and-coming coach psychologists learn. As I think of the gift all of these years, I don't know how you would repeat being exposed to so many senior people. I can't figure out how you would do that. If you're 35 or 45, how do you get access to that? How do you learn what I learned? And so I'm focused on figuring out how to give that back while still servicing the CEOs and people who ask me for support. So was that clear enough to see the
evolution? It's absolutely clear. And I want to go further. I know that, as you mentioned, every engagement, every CEO, it's going to be a little bit different in terms of how you work with them. But I know that like certain themes for some of them may be consistent. Things like challenging their thinking or being that soundboard. That might be the wrong word, but you know, maybe helping them eliminate blind spots that they can't see. Like some of the, I need to get into some of the secret ingredients of what makes what you do so effective for me, Lee.
Well, let's start with the fact that I don't think I've ever worked with a senior executive or a CEO that wasn't driven. They want to learn as they perform.
Yeah.
It's very similar to an Olympic athlete that's got a coach there that's adapting their learning to the next event. It's a similar learn as you go. And so it's a partnership, Adam. I have to trust them. They have to trust me. I have to keep one half a step ahead of their thinking when I can, which is incredibly difficult, but also super fun and very exciting. Is that answering your question?
It does. So you're staying ahead of them, but I want to go further. So what does this look like though? So you're staying ahead of them. You're having these conversations. Is there do you set an agenda at the beginning of the kind of coaching engagement or thought process when you kind of meet them initially? Like, how does that piece of it look? I'm trying to get through what a timeline. I know everyone's going to be different, but what a timeline could look like.
Some of the similar factors across all include the data gathering piece.
Yeah.
So all of those instruments and tools that we psychologists coaches have access to put each CEO and senior executive through a battery of those tools. That gives me one answer to the truth question. And it also allows me to create some hypotheses about strengths, opportunities, gaps, blind spots. The conversation, sort of the initial interview and learning who that person is and the key developmental adult hurdles that they've overcome throughout their life, the key positions they've held and what they've learned along the way. Those provide other avenues of truth. Then understanding why they are in the position they are in now, what they're trying to accomplish, what their deliverables are, what their dreams are. That's another avenue of truth. And then probably the most important one is their direct reports, their team, the talent they have around them. What does that talent bring to the table? And how does the CEO fit or the senior executive fit into that team that must be greater than the sum of all of its parts?
Yeah.
If it truly is, how does that unit fit into the larger organization? And is that aligned? And does it actually connect in a way, a cohesive way? That can move lots of people forward to accomplish goals. So I think maybe I just enumerated 5 or 6 different avenues of truth. Yeah. And once you lay that all out, it's similar to a puzzle. Then you have to try to figure out which pieces fit together and which ones are bigger pieces and smaller pieces. And how do you know which one to talk about at what point in time?
Yeah, that's what I wanted out of you, Lee, because just to start to get into your mind a little bit on this process, because I find it fascinating. And one of the things that I was also curious about as I was going into this interview is that you know, and I don't know if you ever kind of used any like outsourced services or things like that. So let's say one that an example I like to use pretty often is an outsourced CFO. So if you're working with an outsourced CFO, so a CFO that works with your company for a certain amount of hours, then you have this company that's specialized in obviously being a CFO, but they're working with maybe hundreds of other companies, depending on the size of the company, right? But let's just say 800 other companies, and there are many different industries and different things. And so what happens is they get this overlap of learning and like this brain trust that develops, you know, at that company around, you know, everything that has to do with the CFO. So maybe they solved a problem for another company through learning, through obviously, like you said, on the job learning kind of, and they solved a problem or an issue, or they found a way for a creative solution that might fit your company or the particular company that you would have never had with an in-house CFO, because an in-house CFO is, you know, all day long, they're working on your company. So they're not, and not the stereotype, but they're not all necessarily seeing all the other industries that are happening or other things, or that type of like overlap can happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious on your end, does this sometimes happen? Because if I think about you and your career working with all these CEOs, there it has to be, even though everybody's unique, I understand, but at some point, is there sometimes that something comes up and you're like, oh, you know, this feels familiar, or this feels like something that maybe I've encountered working with XYZ CEO. Does that kind of overlap happen at times?
Yes, it does. And I've heard from my clients that they find it valuable when I can share an example of a piece of work that was similar, because that allows for some easy steps forward to check for goodness of fit. Mm-hmm. It gives us a starting point, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned collecting information and data. So all of these instruments that we use and sort of the developmental and selection assessments over time, myself and my colleagues have collected, so we have our own database to be able to compare and contrast what we learned are some senior executive success factors and necessary competencies for success. And yes, there is no one size that fits all, but again, it gives a starting point and a framework from which to ask smart questions about how to move forward. And so those are two aspects. And then the third is the team. You bring people, talented, smart, driven, competent people together to do good work. It's like managing or keeping, what's the right word? Servicing a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, high-end car. They take a lot of service. And you bring together a bunch of incredibly gifted individuals. They take a lot of care. Take up all the oxygen in the room. They're high maintenance. And that can be really exciting, but it also can be work for the leader of that team, who can use all the help they can get from a consultant like me, like us, and added gray matter, added information, added content, an idea of what to try next or what's going on behind the scenes. And if you're trying to move fast, if you're trying to do the right thing, if you're trying to grow people, if you're trying to attract and retain talent, and all that input helps.
So in your opinion, is there something that most CEOs or many CEOs struggle with, like as a commonality?
If any of them listen, they'll chuckle at this, but I think almost every single one has kept less than optimal talent too long. I mean, the good ones care about their people. In caring about their people, they try really hard to make someone work out, fit in, which is a good thing to do. All people must try hard to help others fit in. But I think they all make the mistake once they know in their gut it's time for the goodness of the other person and the goodness of the team to sort of cut ties. I think they've all waited too long. And would all smile and say, yep, been there, done that.
That's great. And I feel like when somebody's working with you and your team, it's to hear these stories and to see that there also has to be this thing of like just connection and understanding, especially, you know, many don't necessarily have that outlet to have that professionally intimate conversation, right? Like of what's really on their mind, not what they have to say in front of the boardroom, right? But to just have that connection and understand that other, maybe some other CEOs are going through the same thing that they've went through or are going through, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's cliche to say it's lonely at the top. I know everyone has heard.
It's not cliche for those that are there.
It is lonely.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to know who doesn't have even a subconscious agenda of their own. And so I think there's value in someone who doesn't have a particular agenda in the organization to be able to call it like it is. Even just say something that the executive knows is true, hearing it out of someone else's mouth validates the thought in a way that inspires and gives confidence for a sounder, more sound decision, a more robust decision moving forward.
So I know one of the other things that you hit on a little bit, but I want to go a little bit further on a little bit, was that you're also working with talent development for the C-level. So you work many times, and I don't know if I should use the word primarily with the CEO, but you also work with with C-level executives as well. Am I off on that?
No, you're correct. Because if a CEO engages me, I have to be familiar with the team. And more often than not, there's a few members of the team who say, "Ooh, can I talk to her?" That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, if you elevate some, you elevate all. So it's helpful. So yes, there are many opportunities to work with more than one on a senior team.
So what do you think, in your opinion, has been, I don't know if I should say your secret sauce, or like just what separates you from others in your field, do you feel?
Well, it's interesting because in preparation for this book, I had to try to dig deep. I don't usually think about myself. I'm focused on everybody else. So I tapped into a number of them, and I think there's a bit of a daring piece. I learned early on not to be afraid of people with big titles and a lot of power. They are human beings with needs and drives and fears and doubts, just like everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a respect and a lack of judgment for others' points of views that separates me if I take to heart the feedback I've been given. Most of them will chuckle and say that I'm, what's the right word? A brutal truth. It's not soft and squishy. No, I know I'm not soft and squishy, but I also will never let anybody down.
And on that note, Lee, I have to ask, we're just my first interview of 2023. What is this? The 3rd of January, 2023. I have to ask. So what's next for you in 2023 and beyond?
And beyond. Well, I'd love to take the opportunity you've provided to continue to write, to become more familiar with how to access aspirational coaches and psychologists who want to support senior people, because it's a very hard world to enter. It's a very confidential, very complex place to work. So anything I can do to support initiative is where I'm headed. So I have no idea where it's going to go, but I'm ready, willing, and able.
Oh, I know you are. And I'm excited to watch this story unfold. And Lee, if somebody's watching this and they want to learn more about LPK Consulting or Osprey Leadership, what's the best way for them to follow up and to connect?
I think that you'll find the website at ospreyleadership.com. You'll find my name there. And the new website's being launched as we speak. And that one will be leekearney.com and lpkconsulting.com. So while the new website's being launched, probably tapping me through Osprey Leadership is safer until my tech guys give me the thumbs up.
Yeah, wonderful. And we'll be sure to put that website in the show notes so that people can just click on the links and head right on over. Speaking of the audience, if this is your first time watching Mission Matters or engaging with an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives, having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, what really motivates them and drives them, and what can we all learn from that so that we all grow together. The whole point of this platform is that we all want to grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or engaging or fun or exciting to you, hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Lee, I'm so excited to continue and finish this book with you and then to get out there and promote it with you. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Adam. Both all your team and you especially have been consummate professionals. So I wish you well. It's been wonderful working with you so far.